Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
and
Truman Blocker
for His Glory Ministry. Welcome.
Welcome.
Okay, people, we welcome you to join us to study today the Word of God. The name of the show today is called
Things Believers Need to Believe.
That's good. Say that again for everybody.
Things Believers Need to Believe.
That's wonderful. It's just so you have for future reference, it'll be repeated at the end of the show. What's our website?
It's www.forhisglory.org.
And if they'd like to order Truman the tape in future, they can go to our fulfillment center, which is called The Connection, and they can literally just call that number. And the phone number is?
That number is 866-426-7337.
The number
you can dial 1-866-426-7337.
Thank you both. So now we'll go right to the biblical text without further ado, and we're going to Galatians 6:2, and Truman is the reader.
Thank you. It's in Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, so that you will fulfill the Torah of the Messiah."
That's interesting. Now, some of you may not have that word Torah or the word Messiah in your Bibles. If it says in most translations, it'll say, "Bear one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law," not Torah, "of Christ," not Messiah. There is no essential difference between the term Messiah and Christ except linguistically, but the same essentially. The term Messiah comes from the Hebrew, the Messiah, HaMashiach, which means the Messiah, and it's just transliterated. The term Messiah, Mashiach, comes from the Hebrew verb Mashach, which means to rub, and you rub something, and you are rubbing that anointing up, and that's the term Mashach. So thus, in a noun form, it means the anointed one, HaMashiach. Ha is a definite article for the, a he prefix. Now, in Greek, it's HaChristos, the Christ. So we're dealing with transliterations. It's acceptable in both. I'm a Messianic Jew, which is a Jew by race and saved by grace. I serve the same Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, God, and soon coming King as you do, God in the flesh. And thus we defer as my roots back to the original languages, here the original being Hebrew. Now, this other term may be more familiar to most. Instead of saying the law of Christ, what does it say, Truman? You read it?
It says the Torah.
Oh, okay. Now, the word Torah does not mean law. That needs to be amended in your Bibles, all right? Good scholars know this here. The word Torah, if you look at a good Hebrew-English lexicon or a word study, and I recommend Brown, four names, four scholars of yesteryear, brilliant men, Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Gesenius. Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Gesenius, Hebrew-English lexicon. The ISBN number is 0913-573-20-5, 1979 edition by J.B. Green, senior editor, is the one I use. And on page 435, it says the word Torah, not law, means direction or instruction. So God gave us direction or instruction. And as a side note with that, or I should say in addition, Dr. Blizzard from Yavo Ministry does a nice job showing you the word Torah actually comes from an irregular Hebrew root, which is the same as the word, in the same sense as to shoot, like to shoot a gun. Why? Because the knowledge was shot forth or sent out. So the Torah is that which is this information from God by revelation from heaven above that's shot out and given to us to take and to learn. Now, it says bear one another's burdens, but what does it say, Truman, not only a few verses later in Galatians, what?
In Galatians 6:5, this looks like a point of tension. It says, "For each man will bear his own burden."
Whoa. What are the two differences in 6:2? It says what?
As we just read in 6:2 earlier, it said, "Bear one another's burdens." And now in 6:5, it says, "For each man will bear his own burden."
Oh, that's interesting. In 6:5, it tells you, you bear one another's, but in 6:2, it says, bear one another's. Then 6:5, it says, you'll bear your own, but it says, bear one another's. What do you do? How do you know what to do? You're told both. You bear your own. Each man bears his own burdens. But earlier it says, bear one another's. Well, if you're bearing theirs, what are they bearing? We should have some real truth so we could bear down on this, all right?
That's good.
Let's get on with it. Now, how do we reconcile these two? Why do we know they must be reconciled? Because the Word of God is internally sound and without contradiction. So when we look at the Word of God, it is consistent. It is complete, it is cogent, it is clear, and it is correct. So look at it carefully. Now, you can't reconcile this in English, can you? Doesn't make sense here. You bear one another's burdens. Truman read it in Galatians 6:2. And you hear that other one in 6:5, Daniel, it says, each man bears his own. So what is it? Do you help them, or they got to do their own stuff and they bear it themselves? You got to go back to, in a sense, the Greek here. Galatians 6:2. Truman, would you read it again for everyone, please?
It says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the Torah of the Messiah.
Truman, that's very interesting. The Greek word for bear, as in to bear one another's burdens, is bastazete. And the Greek word for loads is bare. Bare. Now let's look at it. In Galatians 6:5, for each man will bear his own burden. The Greek word for bear, as in each man will bear his own burden, is bastasa. Bastasa. The Greek word for burden, right? It says you bear your own burden, is fortion. Fortion in Greek. Now, if you go to, which is a good commentary, actually great, Dallas Theological Seminary's two-volume commentary on volume 2, page 610, the reference there for verse 2 is a heavy, crushing load. Heavy, crushing loads, bare, more than a man can carry without help. Okay? So the Greek words are different. So if we went back to 6:2, Truman and read it, to bear one another's burdens, so you fulfill the Torah of the Messiah. You are to bear one another's burdens, but what kind of burden is it there? Heavy, crushing loads. People, don't point a finger at somebody and go, well, you know, you just need to. God says, at times it's too much for them. It's crushing them. You get under that and lift up that with them, that heavy, crushing load. Lock yourself in with them and pull that thing off them and get it off them in Jesus Christ, the Lord's name. Amen?
Amen.
So, in this verse, verse 5, now we go to verse 5, a different Greek word is used for it, which you have each man, right, will bear his own burden. Oh, different word, fortion. This is a different word. It's not that heavy, crushing load of bearing one another's. What was Galatians 6:2, if you're just joining us, in the topic we're teaching today of the tape series here called Things Believers Need to Believe. Things Believers Need to Believe. The verse 2 of Galatians 6:2, verse 2, it told you you ought to what? Bear one another's burdens. Why? Because those are heavy, crushing loads. Verse 2 says what? Bear one another's burdens because they're heavy, crushing. They can't handle it. Help them. Help them all. 6:5 says what? But each man will bear his own burden. Different Greek word for burden. Fortion. What does that mean? Listen to this. This is intriguing. It's used to designate the pack usually carried by a marching soldier. So soldiers, and you're soldiers for Christ, right, Danny? Right, Truman?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So you carry your own pack. You got your own backpack. Now, Vine's Expository Dictionary on page 83 said that baros denotes a weight pressing on one physically or that makes a demand on one's services, on one's resources, whether physical or spiritual. That's for 6:2. Whereas fortio is literally something carried from Pharaoh to bear, is always used metaphorically except in Acts 27:10 of the lading of a ship. Of that which is thought, now listen to this. What is your first thought when you hear about, let's go back to this thing. This is stunning. Truman, would you read 6:5 of Galatians again? Danny, I want your input on the difference between burden and what I'm going to tell you. See if the English messes us up here. 6:5, Truman?
6:5 says, for each man will bear his own burden.
Now, we established the word burden in 6:2 meant what? A heavy, crushing load. This word fortion was what, like what? A soldier's pack that a soldier wears. Listen to this and think if you'd ever see that this was the same. Remember in Matthew 11:30, Jesus talks about, starting in verse 28 of Matthew 11, he talks about, come unto me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. He tells you to come learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is what?
Light.
Oh, wait a minute. That's another word, burden, here. That's fortion. Could you ever imagine a burden being light?
No.
Well, here his is.
Yes, you're right.
So in Matthew 11:30, God says his burden is light. In Galatians 6:5, it says each man bears his own pack.
Burden, yes.
His own burden. You bear your own. But the word burden in 6:2, where you bear one another's, because that burden is too much. It's
too
crushing.
Too heavy.
It's right, Danny. It's way too heavy. So what do you got to do? You got to help your...
Have help.
Help your brothers. Help right. your sisters. We need help. So you're supposed to help each other. So the difference between phortion and baros is that phortion is simply something to be borne without reference to its weight. Isn't that interesting?
Wow, yes.
Because we hear the word burden, that doesn't come into our head, does it? Burdens! And if you bear one another's burdens, that's the crushing weight. But if you're to bear your own burden, that's like a pack. Christ said his burden in Matthew 11:30 is light. His phortion is light. And in Vine's Expository Dictionary, page 83, it talked about that phortion is used always, except in Acts 27:10, metaphorically, and it's of that which is light. Now listen to this. Involved in the discipleship of the Messiah. Interesting. Because the disciples, the learners of Jesus, are to take, right, his burden, come learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my phortion is
light.
It's light, so it's not heavy. Isn't that interesting? That's part of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of us given us our own packs, so that we are to carry that help us grow into the full measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. We grow to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. Correct? In Ephesians 4:13. Now, the difference between phortion and baros is that phortion is simply something to be borne without reference to its weight, but baros in Galatians 6:2 always suggests what is heavy or burdensome. Listen to this. Again, in the Dallas Theological Commentary on phortion, right, that's the one that the soldier wears, the Christian soldier, quote, there are certain Christian responsibilities or burdens each believer must bear which cannot be shared with others. Again, there are certain Christian responsibilities or burdens each believer must bear which cannot be shared with others. Jesus assures his disciples that such burdens were light. Isn't that interesting?
This is absolutely fascinating, Joel. We've talked before about how we have to be familiar with the idioms of the early times in order to read our Bibles
yes.
in English, but this is a case where we actually need to dig deeper and look at the meanings of words, and here's the same word being used just two verses away.
Right.
That means something entirely different, and
right.
now it rings so true.
Isn't that something? Let's read one of the verses in between. Now, when you have the truth and you see it, isn't it clear?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's just wonderful. 6:3, Galatians. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. For, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, each person has to examine himself, and you should be proud of what God has done in your life. I want to quote John G. Lake, who had a wonderful ministry last century, in the complete collection of his life teachings compiled by Robert Lairdon. Robert Lairdon, Lairdon, on page 598. Listen to Lake, who walked close to God. Quote, brother, you will brag about your own life if you have power from God, and you can't help this bragging. You have something to brag about. You really have. You walk in the fullness of the life and fellowship of your spirit with his spirit, and you have something to talk about, haven't you? Fresh new experiences are coming into you all the time. You walk in the realm of miracles. Close quote. Isn't that something? You will, the closer you get to God, have something to speak about. And note well in 2 Corinthians 1:31, in order that just as it has been written, the one boasting, let him boast in the Lord. So you can boast about what God is doing in you. That's speaking the truth. Amen? Now, let's go to another one, things believers need to believe. Our reader is Truman in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8.
Yes, it says, beloved, I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Again, a new commandment I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light already shines.
That's
wow.
very
powerful.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
People were teaching on things believers need to believe. And Truman is reading from the epistles. We're in the New Testament, and we are in the Gospel according to John. Okay? So if you're in John, you're in chapter 2, and let's look at the next three verses. So chapter 2, starting at verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness till now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The context is obvious. Love one another as Christ loves us. According to his commandment, Truman, where? In John chapter 12, 34, what is that? What does Yeshua say to us?
In John 12, 34, Yeshua says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I loved you, that you also loved one another."
Wow. Question. Christ calls this a new commandment. John calls this an old commandment, which it had from the beginning. What is it, people? What do you think it is? Is it new or old? Listen carefully. The answer lies in the Greek text. A very good commentary on 1 John I like by Donald Burdick. Donald Burdick, B-U-R-D-I-C-K, Donald Burdick. And it's an in-depth commentary on the letters of John the Apostle, page 141. We must look to the word kainein, kainein. This is in contrast with neos, N-E-O-S in English, which means new in time. Kainein means new in kind. Ah, the light's on. Listen again carefully. The word is in the Greek kainein, in contrast with neos, which means new in time. Kainein means new in kind. One's new in time, the other's new in kind. Mm-hmm. All right, there's a difference. Robert C. Trench says that kainos is the qualitatively other, while that which is neos is numerically other. Again, Trench, Robert C. Trench says the kainos is, quote, the qualitatively other, while neos is numerically other. Kainos is that which is in contrast to that which is new or familiar. You getting it? In contrast to that which is kainos is new in kind, right? In contrast to that which is known or familiar. So when the Messiah first gave the commandment, it was new in kind, not new in time. It was new in kind, kainos, not new in time, neos. With respect to the fact, haven't they been commanded to love before? Is this the first time in the first century that God told his people something about love? We know not, don't we? You only got to go back to the Torah 15 centuries before our precious Lord came to the world and lived out his life as Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, our Lord, right? And you go back to the time of Moses, who wrote the first five books, primarily the Torah, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. So, what is our reference in Vayikra, or in English, it's called what? Leviticus. Truman will read the verse in Leviticus 19:18.
Leviticus 19:18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Excuse me.
Sounds like the New Testament to me, Joel.
That's the same Bible, the same God. Amen. Now, remember, the New Testament is the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant. Also, the word Chadasha, from Chadash, you have a new moon holiday every month, which is the Rosh Chodesh, a minor holiday in Judaism. We call it a new moon even in English. Don't we look at our calendars and say it's new moon? There's a new moon today. Where's the old one? Is it the same moon or not? Or it's renewed. So the concept of new is also renewed in this sense. So we see the new moon or new covenant. It's also known as the renewed covenant, where it's renewed and where it's brought out with greater depth, height, length, and breadth, and God's advancing his people in the school of humanity that we have through covenant with God. Covenant, covenant, covenant. We did a teaching. You can go to forwardsglory.org and press catalog and look at one of our series on covenant, in which we go through all eight covenants of the Bible. And Truman, you taught that series.
Yes, it's been my blessing to share that with my students.
Profound. Profound. Wonderful. So now let's look. The newness of kind was because they were commanded. Remember, so what do we say? It's not new in what? Is it new in time or new in kind? It's new, the newness of kind. Why? Because they were commanded to love one another, not merely as oneself. Didn't it say in Leviticus to love one another? Right? You shall love one another as yourself. What does Christ tell us? There's a new kind of love he wants you to do. You're to love one another as I love you. So there's a difference between me loving you as I love myself, isn't there? For many people.
Yes.
As opposed to loving you as Christ loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's new in kind. You got it?
Yeah.
So that's why John said this is a, remember, it's Christ calls this a new commandment because it's new in kind. Because he says, now you're to love him as I love you. But now you can because the Holy Spirit is in you and with you.
This is really powerful, Joel, and it's another example of how we have to dig deeper in order to see the true meanings of these words and resolve the point of tension.
Yes, amen. Let's be those students. Let's go to, we are watching the time. Let's do a few more verses, and I'll bring out a very important part here, John 15 and 12 and 17.
John 15, 12 says, this is my commandment. This is Jesus talking. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And then two verses next, John 15, 17, it says, these things I command you, that you love one another.
And in 1 John 2, 8, recapping?
It says, again, a new commandment I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light already shines.
Wow. That's powerful.
Wow, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus on one part here with the time remaining. The Greek relative pronoun ha, which, cannot modify commandment, which is feminine here, according to the scholars. On page 143, it modifies the newness of the command. Him refers to Christ, his great act of self-sacrifice, giving a full and clear presentation of the essence that he shares intimately with the Father as God himself, John 14, 8-9, giving himself wholly and holy to the majestic benefits of humanity and to the purposes of God himself. Romans 5, 8 says,
for God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ the Messiah died for us.
Evil is not allowed to affect, infest, or subject you to any of its wiles or ways. You have dominion over this world, people, and you have authority over the devil and every disease and every demon, and you are led to triumph in Christ in all areas.
But thanks be to God, who always is leading us in triumph in Christ and manifesting the odor or fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. That's in 2 Corinthians 2:14.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to bring up something here in the just 2 minutes we have remaining. The darkness that we went back to what Truman read several times in 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and a true light already shines. Study this out carefully. Get Burdick's book. Get this tape. Study. The darkness is already passing away. Paragetai. This is in present tense, a simple statement of the fact that is viewed as occurring in actual time. Middle voice in Greek, the subject performs an action upon himself, therefore reflexive action for his own benefit. Indicative mood, which is a simple statement of fact. Now, what this basically means is that the darkness is passing away. Middle voice, let me focus on one part of that in the time remaining. That means the subject is acting upon itself. The subject is doing the action and is acting back upon themselves. So the darkness is passing away. Therefore, the darkness, it has a definite article here in the Greek. Therefore, it is the wickedness, the evil, in contrast with the true light, which it says the true light already shines, and it shines, and it shines, and it shines. So the darkness is actually passing. The middle voice tells us volumes here. For in the subject, the darkness is acting upon itself. It's clearly revealing a startling design principle that God limits the darkness and has designed it to be self-destructing, a passing away and departing. Therefore, every time the darkness does something, quote, the voice of the verb being middle stresses the part the subject plays in the action of passing away. By its very nature, evil is destructive, and it bears within itself the seeds of its own destruction, of its own deterioration. Its attitudes and practices are the very devices by which it is destroyed. It's the killing itself. Every time it does something, it's destroying itself. There's so much more. We got to see you next week. Bless you. And we love you. Wonderful. And we all said,
wonderful.
Shalom.
Oh, shalom.
Shalom.
Amen.